Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Move Forward Radio, brought to you by the American Physical Therapy Association. Here you will learn how physical therapists can help people of all ages and abilities reduce pain and improve and restore motion to achieve long-term quality of life.
Hello, and welcome to Move Forward Radio. My name is Debbie Myers, and I'm your host for today's program, and I think we have a great show planned for you. Today we'll be talking about low back pain and how to prevent and manage pain in your lower back. It's a problem many of us live with every day and experience at least sometime over our life. In fact, according to a recent survey by the American Physical Therapy Association, 61% of Americans said they've experienced low back pain, and of those, nearly 70% felt it has affected their daily lives, such as their ability to sleep, their ability to exercise, to work, or even to have intimate relationships. But here's what's even more troubling. The survey found that more than half of those with back pain, 37%, do not seek professional help. They just try to live with the pain or to self-treat. In fact, according to the survey, 3 out of 4 people are using pain medication as a way to relieve symptoms, and half are using heat and cold packs at home for relief. There are actually some better solutions, and we're about to learn from some great experts about what those solutions may be. And while we will be sharing a lot of wonderful information that could change your life, please remember there's no substitute to seeing a medical professional if you are experiencing low back pain. So with no further ado, let me introduce our panel. My first guest is Mary Ann Wilmarth. Dr. Wilmarth is a doctor of physical therapy and is the chief of physical therapy at Harvard University Health Services. She's also a national spokesperson for the American Physical Therapy Association. Dr. Wilmarth, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Debbie.
Next, we have Mike Ryan. Mike is a physical therapist and the head athletic trainer for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Mike is also an Ironman triathlete with a personal best time of 10 hours and 36 minutes at age 46. Mike, I'm not a triathlete, but I think that's pretty darn good.
Well, thank you, Debbie.
Thank you for joining us.
My
and
pleasure.
Last but not least, I'm pleased to introduce Dr. Colette Morgan. Dr. Morgan is a physician with Emory University and is also a volunteer with AARP Georgia. Dr. Morgan, thank you, too, for joining us.
Thank you so much, Debbie.
Great. Later in the program, we will be taking your calls and responding to your tweets and your posts on Facebook. Let me give you a little bit of housekeeping. You can reach us at this phone number, 646-564-9841, or tweet us at MoveForwardPT and use the hashtag backpain. We will be tracking that as well. So let me begin first with Dr. Wilmarth, again, a doctor of physical therapy. Dr. Wilmarth, first of all, why are so many people experiencing low back pain?
Most of the time, low back pain, it's very frequent, as we saw with the American Physical Therapy Association survey, with 61% of the people saying that they do have low back pain. And most of the time, it's caused by an inability of the back's muscles, ligaments, joints to work in a balanced, cohesive manner. Most back pain is not serious and can be resolved and managed by using conservative approaches, such as physical therapy. And physical therapists can customize the treatment plan for each individual, and there's no one-size-fits-all for people with low back pain.
So you see people in your practice and your experience with low back pain. Were these survey results at all surprising to you? Is it pretty typical to think that, 61% of the people are experiencing back pain?
I wasn't surprised at all. That low back pain is very common, and a lot of people don't actually seek out care as soon as they might, and they might stay on their own trying to do their own exercises, which may or may not actually be helping what's going on with the low back pain. So it's important for people to who do have low back pain to make sure they get to a physical therapist as soon as possible if they've had back pain for a few days. And the old adage of, you know, having bed rest is not the way that we want to go at this point. You want to stay active and do as much of your normal movement and activities as possible.
Mm. You know, it, as the survey pointed out, people's lives are clearly affected by low back pain. I mean, the survey respondents were telling us that, you know, they actually avoid some of the things they need to do, like exercise, because of the back pain. Where is the threshold when most people decide it's time to do something about their back pain?
The threshold is usually when something is affected, that they're not able to do their normal activities. And this could be doing the exercise that they want to do. They're not able to sleep well, which affects their function during the day. They might be having trouble at work and getting through their day at work. Or it might be something like their activities of daily living, when they're playing sports or participating in hobbies, for example.
Is there a difference between, we're talking about low back pain as opposed to just in general back pain. What is specific about pain in the lower back that may make it different than just back pain in general?
Well, with low back pain, that is where your center of gravity is, and so it's a very important area to be stable for core stability and for good function for the lower extremities. And with that in mind, the low back pain can actually cause problems that can radiate down into the leg sometimes. And so it's very important for even just walking and functioning to make sure that that low back is balanced, strong, and not having any pain in it.
So, you know, many people really just get focused on lower back pain, obviously, when they have the symptom, which is pain. Is there really just any harm in focusing on your lower back pain when you start experiencing the pain?
You really don't want to focus just on the pain. The bigger question is, why are you having the pain? By addressing the symptoms alone, you won't know if there's some kind of body mechanics that you're doing or some kind of activity or movement pattern where it's causing problems to your back. So it's most important to have that addressed by a physical therapist. They can look, they can evaluate, and see what is working properly and where the dysfunction or the problems are occurring to cause the pain that the person is having.
So when you think of people that come to see you, what are some of the common recommendations you have for people with low back pain in terms of how they should even think about what might be causing it and how they could prevent it?
First of all, with low back pain, it's important to know that most of the time it's not serious. So it's important to stay active, do your normal activities, and not go onto bed rest and not moving. It's important to keep the body active and moving. You want to do your normal routine. If your pain lasts more than a few days or gets worse, then you want to schedule an appointment with your physical therapist. It's important to avoid overuse and strain to the back. You want to make sure you're not going out and running a marathon if it's the first time that you've done some running. You want to watch how you're lifting, how you sit at your office, how you sit at home, making sure that you don't sit for longer than 20 or 30 minutes without getting up, standing, walking around the room, just changing positions because the body, again, likes movement. And you want to make sure that you get adequate physical activity each week. And this means normal activity, but it also means exercising. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services recommends 150 minutes of moderate exercise each week or 75 minutes of vigorous exercise each week. And it's important, again, in looking at the whole picture, how the back fits in with the rest of the body to make sure that you have the balance of strength, flexibility, and endurance to make sure you can function and not be limited with your activities.
Well, you know, you really brought up a a really interesting point that sitting is sounds like as much the culprit as anything. Can you address that a little more? Is that one of the reasons so many people are experiencing low back pain?
Sitting is definitely one of the culprits. Unfortunately, we sit a lot in today's society. Many people are sitting all day long at work. They may sit in the car and drive to and from or commute and sit when they're on the commuter train. Mm-hmm. And then they often will go home and sit on a couch or just sit at night as well. And so the body isn't getting enough, one, exercise or movement. Plus, it's very biased towards a flex position. So all of the muscles on the front side tend to be tightened or shortened, and the ones on the back side tend to be more lengthened and weaker. And so it doesn't facilitate a good balance of strength and movement on both sides, front, back, side to side for the body. And so sitting is definitely one of the culprits. And it's so important to have a good chair when you are sitting and to get up every 20 or 30 minutes to stand or walk around.
But, you know, with technology the way it is, we're all kind of glued to our computers, and here we are all sitting around tonight doing this radio program. You know, people are going to be sitting. So how do you deal with that in order to be able to do your job but try to prevent or reduce the pain that's associated with that?
Sure. It's very important how you're sitting and to accommodate things to your body and not trying to make your body fit a particular chair that doesn't fit you. So starting with a chair, you want to make sure that you have good low back or lumbar support. That helps the rest of your back, into your upper back and even into your neck, to stay in a nice, neutral, good position while you're sitting. And that puts less stress on your back for the time that you are sitting. The other thing, if you're working at a computer or at a desk, it's important to look at the height of the chair to make sure that your hips and knees are about at a 90-degree angle and that there's not too much pressure on them. And then also that you're close enough to the desk and that you're looking at the computer screen approximately straight ahead and that things are close to you and you don't have to twist or reach too far when you're trying to work at the desk. It's also important, you know, in cars. Most of the cars do not have enough low back support, and so it may be important to use a lumbar cushion or a low back cushion to give additional support to that low back area. So again, the spine stays in its optimal position with the right amount of curvature in the spine. And this goes for the couches and chairs at home too. Some of the soft couches are the worst culprits, and people might go back and just lounge on the couch after they've done a lot of physical activity, and that can put pressure on the low back, cause pain, and it's important to use pillows and props, and even a recliner can be a better option than a regular couch.
I'm feeling myself needing to sit up straight as we're talking. One final question before we bring Mike into the conversation. You mentioned a customized treatment plan. When somebody comes to a physical therapist with low back pain, what are they going to experience in terms of a customized plan for them?
When you see a physical therapist, they will do an initial evaluation or assessment to determine what's happening with posture, with muscle length, with strength, all of the anatomy, the biomechanics, the things that are going on with your body to see where there might be an issue that could be causing the back pain to begin with. They will then do different types of physical therapy, which could include manual therapy of mobilization or manipulation if necessary. They will instruct the person in proper exercises, and those are to be done at home as well as in the clinic for the patients. And they will talk to them about their exercise program, about their activities, make sure they have proper postures, their body mechanics are appropriate, and just making sure that there aren't other things that they're doing during the day with their activities or with their sports and other things that are causing harm to their back. And the ideal situation is that once you're done, you'll be able to move, able to do the activities that you want to do, and the low back pain won't be limiting what the person is able to do.
We have been talking so far with Mary Ann Wilmarth. Dr. Wilmarth is Chief of Physical Therapy at Harvard University Health Services and is also National Spokesperson for the American Physical Therapy Association. And if you would like to get in touch with Dr. Wilmarth directly, you can do so through her website, backtobackpt.com. Now I'd like to, hang up, Dr. Wilmarth. We want you to hang on the line because we'll be coming back to you. But I'd like to bring Mike Ryan into the conversation. Mike, again, is a physical therapist and the head athletic trainer for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Mike, are you on the line?
Yes, I am, Debbie.
Great. Let's talk Dr. Wilmarth did, about physical fitness. How important is physical fitness to low back pain prevention and relief?
Oh, it's very important. A physically fit athlete is going to both prevent injuries and help with the recovery process because a lot goes into preventing injuries from strength and flexibility and also the endurance of the muscles around the core. And having that physical fitness to begin with is very important.
So you work with professional athletes, but also with people who are the weekend warriors or just those who enjoy golf and tennis and are exercising to stay fit. What difference or similarities do you see when it comes to low back pain in those two groups?
Well, I think it's a great point and a great question. I find athletes, both young and old, whether it be what I like to refer to the mature athlete or a professional athlete, they all have a real strong need to move freely without pain. I think pain is something they want to avoid, but I think the professional athlete, whether it be low back pain or pain in general, they kind of realize that pain is part of what comes along with competing at a high level, but they also appreciate sports medicine techniques and individuals like physical therapists that can help them rid that pain or decrease that pain. So it's not something they really have to be afraid of. It's just really something they have to manage. Mm. And I find from a weekend warrior, as you say, or that mature athlete, really the term athlete, there's no expiration date. And I think we see athletes in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. And I think the ones that kind of get it and realize have a passion to stay active and deal with a low back injury and not feel like suddenly they have to hang that title up and become sedentary, I think they really gain the benefits of that managing low back injuries. Like Dr. Wilmarth said, that a lot of those injuries aren't necessarily real serious and dealing with them early can really get them back in the game.
Mm. Isn't it true that being an athlete really, though, can put you at risk for low back pain?
Oh, sure. But it also can help you prevent a lot of things. I think it was a great point that you brought up, Debbie, regarding the minimizing the time of people sitting. And I think athletes and our body is really made to move. And I think being active, you may be a little bit more of a risk of having aches and pains. But I think if you look at the low back statistics, athletes as a whole have a lot less severe low back injuries and prevent a lot of those problems. I think it comes back to I like to focus on the three basic things as far as having, number one, great flexibility of the low back and the hamstrings. Number two, functionally strong abdominals, which is something that comes along with being an athlete. And lastly, just great body mechanics of doing everything, whether it be an athlete or getting out of a chair each and every day.
Talk to me a little bit more about body mechanics. That really is just how you are moving and using your body overall.
It really is. I think a lot of it is, like I like to say, that maintaining the C curve. And if you talk to a lot of people with back injuries and you ask them a simple question, when does it hurt the most or when's the problem? And most are going to say when they sit for a long period of time, and when they get up and move, they feel a lot better. And that really is not a coincidence. If you look at someone who's standing or sitting with good posture and you look at them from the side, they have a C curvature or a lordotic curve where that C is with the C with the opening facing backwards. And if you can maintain that curvature with everything you're doing, whether it be tying your shoes or putting on your shoes or picking up the newspaper or getting in and out of a chair or out of your car, if you can maintain that C curvature, in my definition, that's good body mechanics. Because most people that hurt their back, if you look at the position they're in that poor posture or that poor C curve where they get that slouch lower back pain – position, and that can lead to a lot of pain. And there's a lot of simple ways you can correct that and nullify that that kind of curvature or posture from creating low back injuries.
How would it's interesting. Both you and Dr. Wilmarth, what you're advising is, I think, what though goes against what many people think is, if I have pain, I should put heat on it, I should put ice on it, I should rest it. And Dr. Wilmarth, feel free to jump it back in here as well. How do we start educating or countering what most people, I think, believe is the common way to treat is, let me take some aspirin or some Tylenol, let me rest, and my pain will feel better.
Well, I think like this survey showed that a lot of people looking at, like you said, the solution is being through medicine, and that's not the case. I think a lot of it comes down to education, and I find a lot of people that haven't had exposure to a physical therapist, when they get a chance to work with a physical therapist, and really a big part of our job is educating that athlete, young and old. And I think once they do that and they realize, really a lot of them are some very simple techniques that control pain and get people back into the game, like I say. And I think once they realize that, really the main complaint is, why'd I wait so long to get to see a physical therapist? Because there's a lot there they can learn. And like I always say, what could be more exciting than learning about yourself and how to do more things with your body and your life?
I would agree with that for most definitely, is that if patients can get in sooner to see a physical therapist, they'll realize how the movement, how the exercise will help them, and they'll quickly be back, as you said, Mike, on their game and back into their activities of daily living or their sports, whatever it is they happen to be doing. And most of the time they'll say, gosh, I wish I had known about this sooner. And so it's great that we're able to tell people about this now. And then they also will tell their friends and colleagues how it helps to get things moving, to get them back and feeling better with their low back.
Is there ever a time that it is harmful, that maybe you shouldn't push through the pain, or maybe that's not the right mindset? Is there a time that rest is actually the best thing, or not pushing through the pain to try to get better?
Sure, there's the old adage of a little good, a lot's better, and I think sometimes in high-level athletics we're all guilty of that. But I think the advantage that we have in professional sports is we have a great medical team around us, and I have a great staff. I'm very fortunate with that. And I think the key thing I look at, and I think it's important for our athletes, is to find the source of the pain early on. Because I think if you're going to implement an aggressive sports medicine program, rehab program, to get them back to doing what they want to do, you don't want that lingering thought about what is really wrong with my back. And I think if you find the source of the pain and you're addressing that early, there's a lot more trust, I think, from the athlete to the medical staff that realize, okay, I know exactly what's on the table and what do I have to deal with it. But I think if they're trying to push it, you're trying to push through some pain, and you really don't know the source of that pain, it's like you can have static on your phone, but is there something wrong with the phone or the telephone line or the telephone pole a mile down the road? Knowing the source of that pain early on, I think, gives you the security and trust to push it, to get it back in there. But there's always the room for rest when you really have to, and sometimes that's the simplest is sometimes the best.
I would agree with that, and just state that, you know, rarely there are more serious low back symptoms that can occur. And for those people who, you know, aren't with a medical group, they could include incontinence or difficulty urinating, balance problems, numbness, tingling, or weakness of the legs. And if there's anything like that, it's important to see a physician if the person is experiencing any of those symptoms, if they're not, you know, surrounded by a medical community at that time.
You know, I think both of you mentioned this importance of the core, of strengthening the core, but I think there's a lot of confusion involved around abdominal exercises. You know, should you be doing sit-ups, and what are the right kind of exercises to do to strengthen that core? Mike, can you first try to help simplify training of the abs to prevent or to reduce lower back pain?
Sure, it's a great question, and all we have to do is watch TV and see all the infomercials for all the different ab exercises
right.
that are coming out every week, it seems. And it's quite entertaining. But I think the thing of understanding the abs is it's not just the six-pack that you see. In 24 years in the league, I've yet to see anybody, a professional athlete, herniate the upper abs. Everybody wants a six-pack abs, but it really comes down to controlling the lower part of those abs that controls the pelvis that's really going to give you the ability to protect yourself from having having low back injuries. But having a strong core, there's about four different muscle groups that come along with that. And for me, I find keeping it real simple for the athletes is important. And I think a great analogy is if you take 10 toothpicks, they're not really that strong, but simply put an elastic band around them and you could rest a bowling ball on it because it gives it great strength. And really that's a function of the abs for preventing low back injuries, is to give that support to the front half of the spine. And I think when you do that, you can prevent a lot of injuries. And I think the way we work with our athletes is we function on a lot of different versions of crunches. It's a simple way. You're doing it on a firm surface, and you can add a lot of variation there because if you think about your abdominal muscles, they don't go over your hip joint. So a lot of leg motions, unless the abdominals are done real properly, it really doesn't isolate the abs. And that's really the trick, I think, for strong abs is to isolate the right kind of muscles to create great fatigue of those muscles to make them stronger because you're overloading those particular muscles. Versions of crunches really help. And the other thing, Debbie, I think is real important is the fact that the diaphragm that sits above the abdominals and the upper part of the abdominal cavity is real important. So if at any time, no matter what the exercise is, and I know there's a lot of variation with that, at any time if you're holding your breath while you're doing your abdominals, you're not properly isolating your abdominals. So controlling that breathing, continuing to breathe while you isolate abdominal exercises are really the greatest way to both prevent the injuries and get those abdominals strong to keep you healthy.
You know, so much what I'm hearing from both of you is really leaves it up to the individual to kind of take control of their lower back pain. That, you know, it isn't a magic pill. It really is about learning how your body moves, strengthening your abs, strengthening that core, and keep moving, and don't stay stagnant.
Well said.
We are talking with Mike Ryan, physical therapist and head athletic trainer with the Jacksonville Jaguars, and also Dr. Marianne Wilmarth with Harvard University Health Services. And now I'd like to bring Dr. Colette Morgan into the conversation. Dr. Morgan is not a physical therapist. She's a medical physician with Emory University. And Dr. Morgan is also a volunteer with AARP Georgia. And specifically, we want to talk about all of us, baby boomers, and the aging population and how lower back pain maybe has some particular uniquenesses there. Dr. Morgan, thank you again for joining us today.
My pleasure.
You know, we know that back pain happens across the lifespan, but can it be particularly impactful as you age?
Certainly. You know, one of the things, and I'm just going to, for a moment, talk about the anatomy of the back. Your spine consists of individual bones, and they're called vertebrae, and they're stacked one on top of the other. And between each vertebrae, you have small joints that allow your spine to move, and discs, and the discs are kind of jelly-like or gel-like centers. And basically, they act as shock absorbers, and they prevent your bones from rubbing against each other. Well, as we age, the disc between the vertebrae, they wear away. They shrink. And, of course, this can cause pain and stiffness as the bones start to rub against each other. In addition, the space around our spinal cord narrows over time. So some patients may have been told by their physician that they have a condition called spinal stenosis, which is just basically where that space around your spinal cord has began to narrow. And that, of course, will put pressure on your spinal cord, your spinal nerves, and ultimately lead to pain. So degenerative disc disease, which is basically the wear and tear of those vertebrae in our back, as well as spinal stenosis, we see more commonly as we age. But let me also note, which a lot of the other panelists have kind of mentioned already, a lot of our previous things that we've done throughout our life will impact low back pain as we age as well. So certainly poor physical fitness. Being overweight, of course, is a huge problem right now in this country. Certainly the more weight that a person carries, the more stress they're putting on their back. One of the big things that a lot of my patients don't realize is that smoking can actually worsen back pain. One of the things that we know now is that some of the byproducts in tobacco can actually prevent enough nutrients from getting to the disc in your back. On top of that, something as simple as a smoker's cough. You have my I have several patients who just have chronic coughs, which actually has led to chronic back pain for these patients. And additionally, if you do sustain a back injury, smoking impedes your healing. It significantly decreases healing in patients. Of course, another thing I kind of think about when we talk about aging and back pain is what you've done throughout your life as far as your occupation. Not only, as our other panelists discussed, prolonged sitting, improper posture, but also if you've had a very physically demanding job where you had to do a lot of lifting, pushing, twisting, and you did a lot of it incorrectly, which unfortunately I see quite a bit as well, work-related injuries that affects them significantly as they get older.
So in some ways, is it inevitable that as you age, you might be more prone to low back pain issues?
I think that there is an expectation that all of us will have some degree of degeneration, but as Mike talked about, if you're active, and that's one of the misnomers is that I hear from a lot of patients is, well, I can't do anything because my back, I have a bad back, I have back pain. And often we can prevent so much of the debilitating effects of back pain by keeping physically fit, by maintaining a strong core, as our other panelists discussed. So, yes, there will be some degree of aging that all of us will have. But certainly keeping a physically fit and light as well as an ideal body weight, or at least as close to it as possible, will help decrease that significantly.
So how does aging then also impact our ability to recover from back pain or in any other conditions as well? Is that a problem?
Definitely. Certainly as we age, our immune system, just overall, our bone marrow, all our functions of our bodies will begin to slow down. The difference is I think that a lot of times we have what we consider inappropriate aging, and we have now all kind of assumed it's appropriate. So like you were asking me, well, is it just inevitable? A lot of patients really think, well, just as I get older, I'm going to become very immobile. I'm going to have a sedentary lifestyle. I'm going to have lots of aches and pains. You will heal slower, definitely. It's going to take you longer to get over injuries. But I can tell you that there's numerous studies that show the more physically fit that you stay throughout a lifetime, the better your chances are being able to avoid that decreased healing potential as you get older.
You know, as a physician, Dr. Morgan, you have, I know, worked with physical therapists in the hospital, certainly, throughout your career. How important is the patient's mindset in beginning to work with a physical therapist?
It is huge. Let me just say that I think the doctor and the patient both play a huge role. When a patient initially makes that first contact with their physician, which is often who they go to first with their back pain after they told their family and they finally decide to come and see the doctor, I think not only the patient's mindset but the doctor's mindset. There are some physicians who very much feel, you have back pain, I'm going to write you a prescription, and we're kind of done. And I think that a lot of times it may just be for expediency, but unfortunately, I think that we miss out on a really, really good opportunity, particularly if you catch it early, to introduce these patients to physical therapy. I actually work very closely with physical therapists at the hospital, and I've also worked with them quite a bit in the outpatient setting. And I think when you have a physician telling the patient early on, yes, we're going to try to give you something, anti-inflammatories to help with this pain, but I also want to try to start you on physical therapy. I want to try to get you to a point where you're not going to need medication. And I think that early initiation is very important. I actually had a patient when I was in private practice that came, and she was actually transferred to my care. She'd already had back pain for a couple of years and had been on pain medication. So when she came to me, it was kind of this mindset of, please just refill my prescription. And I suggested physical therapy. She told me I was the first physician to ever suggest that to her. She actually was not interested, but it was one of my requirements that if I'm going to continue to keep you on medications, we're also going to get you started in physical therapy. She was very resistant, and she actually did not get much better. Well, later on, she ended up really having significant complications from the pain medications that she was taking. She came back to me about a year later, and this time her mindset was totally different. You know, doctor, I've been on medications. I'm tired of how it makes me feel. I really want to try physical therapy. When she went in with that positive attitude, it made a world of difference. And we're 5 years out now, and she still lets me know she's completely off medication and how much better she feels since initiating physical therapy. And even though she's not still receiving active physical therapy, the exercises they taught her, the changes they made in her life were huge.
That's a wonderful story to share. Thank you very much. And I And I imagine that you might see more of that. You know, the great thing about the baby boomer generation is that we're going into aging, kicking and screaming. And because baby boomers do want to have a lot more of a say in their health and their health care. I also mentioned that you were a volunteer with AARP Georgia, involved with a program called You've Earned a Say, working with people as they do age and how they want to have a greater say in their health care. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Certainly. Let me just first say, when we talk about Medicare, and I specifically refer to Medicare because when I'm doing my work with AARP, we have quite a large population of that will be Medicare eligible or 65-plus years. And a lot of patients do not realize that Medicare does cover physical therapy. I'm amazed when I tell patients, and they're surprised. Medicare obviously may not cover it all. Some patients may need a secondary insurance to pick up the other portion. But the three requirements for Medicare to cover your physical therapy is, one, that it's medically necessary, two, that your doctor or therapist set up the plan of treatment, and three, that your doctor periodically reviews the plan to see how long you would get the therapy. And not only do they cover physical therapy, a lot of patients think they only cover it in an inpatient setting. They also cover outpatient physical therapy, even therapy that you can have done in your own home. And I want to be sure that a lot of patients realize that. And that's one of the reasons I'm so excited about AARP's program, which, as you mentioned, is called You Earned a Say. And what You've Earned to Say is actually talking about is allowing us, allowing Americans, the people who are directly affected by this, to have a say-so in Medicare, in Social Security, in the future in which it's heading. They're actually taking it out of Washington and bringing it right to us. And actually, in March 19th of this year, all the way through the end of this year, we started sponsoring town halls, community conversations, debates, webcasts, bus tours, and tons of other events to allow Americans to hear about the proposals that their states are offering that on a national as well as a state level, and how what we can do to keep Social Security and Medicare going strong for the long term. And I urge anybody who's interested in the future of Medicare and Social Security to really look into the You've Earned a Say program. The AARP is a great program that actually gives a voice to us.
That's great information, Dr. Morgan. And if anybody's interested in learning more about You've Earned a Say, you can go to aarp.org. We've been talking with Dr. Colette Morgan with Emory University, a medical physician. We're also on the line with Mike Ryan, physical therapist and head athletic trainer for the Jacksonville Jaguars, and Dr. Marianne Wilmarth, doctor of physical therapy, chief of physical therapy at Harvard University Health Services, and also a national spokesperson for the American Physical Therapy Association. I think we're about ready to move to taking some of our caller questions and questions coming in on Facebook. If anybody does have a question, please feel free to call us at 646-564-9841. Or you can tweet us at MoveForwardPT and use the hashtag backpain. Also, I want to make mention, I'll mention again at the end of the program, for any additional information on lower back pain or anything related to physical therapy or to find a physical therapist, please visit MoveForwardPT.com. So for all of you, so please... stay on the line. We do have a question from a Facebook listener. The question is, I've been trying different exercises, activities like cycling, but have been feeling tension in my lower back. How can I relax my back while cycling, and are there other sports or activities that might be better for their back? Mike, you want to take that first?
Sure. I think a lot of it, you know, cycling puts a lot of load on the low back because of the position. A couple of tricks is to go with a different version of handlebars that keep you a lot more vertical compared to like a mountain bike. Then you go with like a beach cruise, the handlebars that bring you a little bit higher, and changing your seat position will really help. And I think a lot of it comes down to a lot of activities is keeping the hamstring flexibility as a high priority. I think by doing that, it allows your pelvis to move freely, because the thing with the body is it really wants to stay out of pain. It doesn't want to be in that pain position. So if you get yourself in a comfortable position in your body and your pelvis has that flexibility, it can naturally put you in a position to be a lot more comfortable. Taking frequent breaks. I mean, if you are doing cycling, periodically every 10 or 15 minutes, literally standing up on the pedals or getting off the bike to kind of break up the transition there, because there's always an endurance factor. With fatigue, your body has the ability to kind of lose that proper posture. And I think lastly, finding activities that you can maintain that C curvature. And I, like I would say, the good C curve that has a C with the opening backwards. And if you can find things like that, elliptical trainer is a great one because it keeps you a little bit more vertical and it puts a little bit less stress in the back because of that postural position. Recumbent bikes are a great way to get the exercise with what you're doing. And, you know, the ultimate really is swimming. It's a great way to work on core flexibility and get great tonnage in a relatively short period of time.
I would agree with Mike. I think those are all great things to do. And I think with the biking, as he mentioned, you know, if you take breaks, you get yourself into a more vertical position, which changes the position and posture that your body's in, which is a good thing to do at intervals. It's also, I advise people to look at the activity that they're doing during the day and try and balance it out a little bit. So if somebody's sitting all day, maybe they could do some walking or running or elliptical rather than doing a bike versus somebody who stands all day, and then maybe they might want to do a bike. So it gives them more balance to all of their activities that they do throughout the day.
Great. Thank you both. We are taking your calls and questions via Facebook and Twitter and also at our call-in number, which is 646-564-9841. And are we ready to take the caller? Okay. And we have on the line with us Emily from Virginia. Emily, do you have a question for one of our panelists?
Yes, I do. First of all, I want to say this has been very interesting and helpful. But I'm currently pregnant right now, and I wondered if you could talk about what I can do to reduce lower back pain now while I'm pregnant and after I deliver.
Great. Dr. Wilmarth, do you want to start with that?
Sure. That's a great question, and it's important to try and decrease the stresses on your back as much as possible, since when you're pregnant, one, there's more body weight and your center of gravity has changed, and two, your ligaments are a little bit more lax than they normally are in preparation for the delivery and birth. So it's important to keep good support in your low back. So when you're sitting, to put a towel or a cushion or something in that C curve that Mike talks about, that lumbar lordosis in the low back. It's important also to do appropriate exercises for flexibility, especially, and movement while you're pregnant, but you would need to check with your physical therapist because it's very specific depending on your level of flexibility and your level of strength before and then during the pregnancy. The other thing is remaining active again as much as possible with walking, or swimming is a great exercise when you're pregnant because it does, the water is buoyant and it will take some of the pressure off of the joints, but you're still able to get the movement.
Okay.
I was ready to punt that one if Emily was asking me that question.
Sure.
Emily, thank you very much for your call.
Thank you.
We have another questions come in through Twitter. What can I do at home to lower back pain acquired after a minor sports injury?
Well, I think a great thing she could do, the question asker could do with that one, is minimize the amount of sitting you're doing. But I think, like Dr. Wilmarth had pointed out, the fact that sitting is something we have to do. I've had great success with maintaining that curve I keep talking about, is using a towel roll, not necessarily putting it behind the low back, but actually putting it the back half of the pelvis right on the lower part of the butt. Because what that does, much like if you put a log under a tire and it keeps that pelvis rolled forward, is a great way when you have to sit, whether it be in your car or on a plane or at work, is a great way to keep that pelvis rolled forward to maintain that curvature. The other thing is to really stay out of soft beds and couches. I think don't be afraid. Like I tell our players, we travel a lot, spend a lot of time in the hotels, and you never know what kind of bed you're going to get, is don't be afraid to sleep on the floor. And I think when you do and you put a little bit of padding down there on a firm surface with a pillow underneath the knees if you're sleeping on your back, or a great way of sleeping on your side and have a pillow between the knees, which keeps your pelvis and your lower extremity from rotating, is a great way to support the back, keep you in a comfortable position. And we all know the value of a good night's sleep can really put you heads and shoulders down the road on that healing process for low back injury.
You know, let me ask a follow-up question. I know we've brought up pain medication. Is there a time, or is it good to combine physical therapy with some pain medication as well, especially with some kind of an injury? And I'll throw that out to anyone, Dr. Morgan, Dr. Wilmarth.
You know, I think sometimes you won't have a choice. I think, again, as Mike kind of mentioned, the etiology, what's the cause of the back pain, is always going to be critical. And so, of course, I have many patients who do require pain medication, and I don't even think they would be able to get through physical therapy, particularly our hospitalized patients. Mm-hmm. We often give them pain medication prior to even initiating the physical therapy so that they can get through it. The goal, of course, is going to be to strengthen the back, to give them significant improvement that they want require the medication, or at least not as much. But, yes, combining it is not only acceptable, I think sometimes it's actually necessary.
And I think also the point that medication, depending on the type of medication, we talk about pain medicine a lot, but in some cases anti-inflammatories are merited for a soft tissue injury involving the low back. So I think in that way you're almost treating the injury. You're not necessarily masking it or addressing the pain.
I would agree with that, especially, you know, in those acute phases when there is swelling and inflammation, it can be very important to have an anti-inflammatory.
Great. We are taking your questions at 646-564-9841. And again, you can tweet us at MoveForwardPT using the hashtag backpain. We do have another questions come in through either Facebook or Twitter. The question is for Marianne. I experience pain from crouching and shoveling all day when gardening. What are the proper body mechanics while I'm in the garden?
That's a great question, and it's that time of year now where lots of people are gardening and out in the yards. It does require a lot of crouching. It's important when you are doing a crouch down to make sure you have, to begin with, enough range of motion in your knees and your hips and enough flexibility to stay in a good position when you're down there. Because if you're tight to begin with and then try and do this activity, something will get pulled or strained, and you don't want that to happen. When you are in that position, you want to try and maintain that good neutral alignment of the spine so it stays in a fairly erect position with like ear, shoulder, and hip in a fairly straight line, keeping that C curve or lordosis as much as possible. The other thing is sometimes it's helpful to kneel, and kneeling puts the back in a good position where it's like a suspension bridge.
Of course, if you have knee problems.
If they have knee problems, then kneeling might not be the best option. But if not, you can even use padding. They have the different knee pads that you can wear out in the garden, which can be really helpful. If shoveling in the garden, it's important to bend with the hips and knees, use the legs as much as possible, and not twist with the back. The back is stabilizing as you're holding and doing the shoveling. And what you want to do is step with the feet, move with the feet as you're shoveling, keep the load small, and don't try and throw it too far. And then after you've done all of this, try and, one, not to do it for too long at one time, take breaks. And when you do take breaks, go into the opposite motion. Stand up, be straight, walk around, even put your hands on your hips and arch back a little bit, and that will help to balance things out for you.
Great, thank you. We do have another caller on the line, and I believe it's Kim in Washington, D.C. Kim, are you on the line? Maybe we don't have her yet. So, well, I may have jumped that one a little fast. I do want to ask a follow-up question to both Dr. Wilmarth and to Mike. You know, a lot of people don't realize that they can directly access a physical therapist on their own. If you go to moveforwardpt.com, you can click on Find a Physical Therapist in your area. In some states, it's easier to do than in other states. But can you talk a little bit about the accessibility to physical therapists?
Well, I think the last numbers I saw, I believe it was 46 states plus D.C. have direct access. And for the listeners, direct access is where legally you have the ability to go directly to a physical therapist without necessarily seeing a physician to start that physical therapy program. And obviously, it's at the discretion of the physical therapist's severity of the injury and to be able to do an evaluation to see if it does merit the need to bring a physical physician back in for special testing. But it's a nice way for the public to have access to a physical therapist and gain the benefits that we've been talking about for the last 50 minutes and to learn what they need to and help get better and not get maybe delayed by a doctor's appointments or whatnot to have that early intervention and get the healing process started.
The direct access can work really well for patients. As Mike said, you know, they can get accessibility to a physical therapist usually early on. They'll see the injury sooner, and so it's an easier recovery the sooner you can get to the injury. And then the physical therapist will always do a differential diagnosis, and they'll medically screen to make sure that the patient doesn't need to be referred out to another specialist, as Mike had said. And so they're helping to get that patient on the road to recovery quicker.
Great, thank you. And now our caller is ready. We've got Ashley on the phone from Maryland. Ashley, what's your question?
Hi, yes, I was calling. I have a six-month-old little girl, and despite the fact that she weighs only 15 pounds, I've managed to hurt my back over and over again. And it's probably the way I'm picking her up, but I'm wondering, how can I strengthen my back?
We see this happen a lot with people who have young children. I had a patient in today who actually, he takes care of the child Monday through Friday and was having some upper back pain, just like you're describing. And the first thing is to look at the mechanics of how you're lifting to make sure that you keep your child as close to you as possible when you are lifting and not keeping an arm's length. The longer the distance away, the more stress and strain will go onto the low back as well as the upper back. The other thing is usually when you're holding your child, you're more into that forward bent position. And so it tightens up the chest muscles and it weakens the muscles in the back and between the shoulder blades. So it's important particularly to have those muscles strong in the upper back and also to have good core stability, as we talked about previously, to make sure that that's staying stable in order for you to hold your child well and not have pain in the back.
And a couple of points, if I could add, Ashley, is as far as the body mechanics of that, the strongest muscles in your body are in your legs, so it's really important that you use them. And I think it's a good rule of thumb before you pick up your child is to get a sense like someone's taking your navel and pulling it upwards. So you're tightening up your abs and bringing that navel upwards. And what that'll do is that'll engage the core and give you better stability around that pelvis area before you have to ideally bend the legs and pick the child up, keeping the child as close to you as you can. So keeping the abs in the game early on can really help prevent a lot of injuries. And the other thing, when you look at low back strain, the worst thing you can do is sit, bend, and twist. So keeping that child close to you and kind of facing things, if you're putting the child on the table or you're putting them in a chair, which is kind of hard getting in and out of a car, where a lot of people tend to hurt their back when they're putting a child into a baby seat, is to avoid that twisting position. So if you can pre-position yourself so that the child's in front of you and not bending and twisting, can literally take 50% of the stress off your low back when you're moving a child or any object for that matter.
That's a great tip.
Thank you.
Ashley, thank you for your call. We do have another question coming in through Facebook from a gentleman who does a lot of traveling and is on airplanes in very long flights. Are there some tips to help relieve low back pain as you're traveling and you can't be getting up all the time to move around as suggested, I think, earlier in the program?
Yes, there are things that can be done. The first thing is making sure that your low back is supported, and that can be with that lumbar cushion that goes in the low back, or as Mike mentioned, you can also use a little towel roll, or it could be a sweater or a scarf or something that you can fold up and put underneath the sit bones or the buttocks there and tip the pelvis forward to keep that neutral position. You can also do some nice easy stretches in the seat, where even just starting from the upper back all the way down, circling the shoulders, making sure you're moving in the seat and not staying in one position the whole time. You can also just move your legs back and forth, and any movement will help the circulation. It will help things so that they're not getting too strained when you are sitting. I had one patient recently who was flying cross-country, and they developed back pain on the flight. They were actually lucky enough to be in first class, and they had a stool where they put their legs out on, and the legs were out straight the entire time, and they developed a sciatica because there was too much strain, and they had tight hamstrings, so it was coming down into the low back. So it's very important when you are sitting to make sure the hips and knees are bent when you are sitting and not keeping them out straight the entire time, because that can put more strain on the back.
I think 2 points to add to that is doing little mini crunches and really engaging that core and bringing it up almost like you're doing a Kegel exercise to stabilize that pelvis and keep the abs strong. And also by contracting the abs neurologically, it relaxes the low back, and that's important as well. And the second point is to make sure you stay well hydrated with the right kind of fluids on a plane, because with the hydration of a plane, humidity is somewhere around 2 to 5%, so it's very, very dry, and dehydration is a common link with soft tissue injury, especially for prolonged exposure like a long plane flight.
And I think that's an interesting point that I think I've heard from all of you, that there are many other things that can be associated to lower back pain or any kind of pain that may not even be part of what you've done physically. So, you know, to your point, Mike, that perhaps not even having enough water, being overweight, other kind of issues can certainly contribute to lower back pain. I think we have time for one more question. We have a question coming in through Twitter. Any advice for people with scoliosis, especially with curvature of the lower back?
I would say with that first of all, to make sure that you're being followed medically by a physical therapist, by the physician as well, and making sure that things are screened as early as possible and that you're following to make sure that the curve isn't progressing. There are different types of scoliosis, and it's important, depending on the age of the person, to make sure that they're being followed to see if it's a structural problem or not. As far as the scoliosis, you add another component to the curvature that we've been talking about, where you have this other side curvature, and so it adds twisting to what we've already talked about with the back, and that makes things a little bit harder. So it's even more important to make sure that you're getting to see a physical therapist to have an assessment, depending on where the exact curvatures are, and there can often be one or two different curves that will go along with the scoliosis, and they will help to know which muscles to work on for stretching and which ones for strengthening. And then again, it comes down to having a good core stability, core strength for the back, again, especially because there's more stress to begin with because of the scoliosis.
And I think, Debbie, it comes back to the fact that these athletes, and I have a friend who's a very good athlete who has bad scoliosis, it comes down to them being very active and taking an active responsibility of keeping themselves very flexible. This isn't something that's going to go away. It's something they're living with for the rest of their lives. And having great flexibility and how to manage that issue and having tightness in one area, how to address that before those little problems become a big problem. Because we all know with people with scoliosis, those issues involving the spine can be very troublesome. So taking that approach early on and preventing those things, especially with the flexibility, is key, both lower extremity, core, and in this case, upper extremity as well.
Great. Thank you, Mike. Well, we have been talking about lower back pain, how to prevent lower back pain, how to manage the pain, and all of the good solutions that physical therapy can bring to the table for anyone with lower back pain. You have been listening to Move Forward Radio, and I would like to thank our guests, Mary Ann Wilmarth. Dr. Wilmarth is a doctor of physical therapy and chief of physical therapy at Harvard University Health Services and a national spokesperson for the American Physical Therapy Association, and she can be reached at backtobackpt.com. We've also been talking with Mike Ryan. Mike is a physical therapist and head athletic trainer with the Jacksonville Jaguars, And he can be reached at MikeRyanFitness.com. And also talking to Dr. Colette Morgan. Dr. Morgan is a physician with Emory University and a volunteer with AARP Georgia. And for more information on physical therapists or to find a physical therapist, visit MoveForwardPT.com. I'm Debbie Myers. It's been my pleasure to be your host, and thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you for tuning in to Move Forward Radio. For more information and to find a physical therapist in your area, visit MoveForwardPT.com.